Here's what you missed on Kennedy Malloy. HSV didn't miss anything when they re-engineered the Chevrolet Silverado for Australian roads. Chevrolet Silverado by HSV. Live big. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Sure is, people. Welcome to the big Wednesday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Please don't get hit on the head by a flying meteor. It's tough out there. It's dangerous. Duck and cover. Wear a helmet. I don't care what you do. It's a meteor shower.
It's going right across the country. Jeez, from Northern Territory to SA.
I'll be watching the weather tonight.
Me too.
Find out where those meteors are landing.
How
what
are
else
you,
is on
Mick
the
Malloy?
Show? Good, Jane Kennedy. Hello,
that's
Dave.
Good. Hey, guys.
Hello, Dave. How
what
are
have
you?
We got?
Oh, look, we have got a massive show for you, and I'm just going to come straight out the top and say we've got Jimmy Barnes on.
Oh,
Barnesy.
And he's going to sing his brand new song.
Can't wait.
Live on our show, Shutting Down Our Town.
It's
an amazing song. You'll love that one.
It's going to be fantastic. It will move you. Not only the only guest we have on today's show, Anne Edmonds.
Yes.
Top shelf comedian.
Excellent.
Have you been paying attention?
Yes, she was
Monday
the other
night.
Yep.
She was ripping.
She did a great job.
She'll swing by to chew the fat.
Mm. Yeah, she will. Coca-Cola is reviving New Coke.
Why?
Because Stranger Things is being the third series is coming out. You'd have watched
That's
Stranger Things, wouldn't you?
I love it. I do. It's just...
What's it about?
Yeah. It's like a teen frat house.
No, not really.
Not really.
Yeah, okay.
It does involve supernatural.
All the women wear bonnets.
No. Anyway, they drink Coke and they're going to bring out this 1975 version, I think.
Cool.
That Coke. We'll look
Cannot
at that.
Wait.
We got bad parenting. I always love this.
This is full as a goog.
I like hearing from our listeners on this because sometimes I might have fallen in that category of bad parenting.
You are the patron saint of bad parenting.
I am, but I've got some ripping stories up my sleeve for
Fantastic.
You as well.
Fantastic. We're going to have a look at some sportsmen doing ads. There's a new one by Virat Kohli, which does need some
well,
of our attention.
Well, you showed it to me and it amused
me. Hey, guess what?
What?
We're going to show you or showcase one of the King's sex toys.
Now, this is a bit horrifying, especially to the British constituency. We know that in the Victorian era it was pretty uptight.
Was it Henry VII?
I was Edward.
Edward.
Yeah, Edward the Seventh.
Edward the Seventh. Yes. All right, well, he was up to no good.
I know my royal history.
if there was a sexy land in 1462, he would have been going there, let me tell you.
He was the patron saint of it.
Hey, we'll take your course, we'll take your tweets. Right. There's so much more to wade through. Big night out. We're going to ask you about a big night out. Personally, I am cooked.
You
had
are.
A great night last
night. Did you?
Night.
What'd you do?
I watched episode 2 of the first series of Game of Thrones.
Oh, you're watching it.
It was fantastic. Really good. Bran's still unconscious.
Is he?
Yes. And
you did really?
And they're walking on a trail through Westeros to King's Landing.
Yes, they
are. Well, because Ned Stark, he's going to become the Hand of the King. So
what's going on?
What's happening with
you? So Bran, is he important?
You've seen the last episode, haven't you?
It's really good stuff, though. He's in a coma, Bran.
Did you like the reason why he was piffed out the tower? Did you like that scene?
No, what happened there?
See? You haven't watched it.
I am watching it.
No, if you knew why he fell out a window.
I know how he fell out the window.
Because he saw something.
He saw something.
He was pushed out the window.
Yes, what did he see?
He's a brother and sister having a root.
Fair enough. Well done.
I just took a guess. That's a wild guess and it's right.
That's correct. Hey, look, I think this is some sad news that's come out today. Jamie,
hey, don't spoil episode 3 for me.
Okay. No, guys, I won't spoil the whole first series for you.
I'm up to episode 3.
All right. Don't worry. You have my blessing, I won't say.
All right, what's up with
Jamie
you?
Oliver has the restaurant chain that he had, he's had to close them all. Basically, 1,000 jobs are going.
How many
he's devastated by that. 22 are closing. The other 3, I think, were independent now. They've been, you know, not franchised.
Right.
I just find that so devastating for him. I think his intentions were great, and I think Jamie is a real good stick. I remember meeting him years ago, and his cookbooks really changed my life as a cook. He told everyone in the kitchen, take the pressure off. It was really easy to cook. Even before Nigella's licking her fingers and sticking her finger
in. Are you upset about this?
I am. I mean, I think he poured a lot of his own dough into it as well. I think people thought he was a bit of a prat in the end, but otherwise I think that is a real tragic thing. However,
his next cooking show should be with a ladle from prison. Unless he can pay some of these.
Well, it could be. I hope all these people find their
How
jobs.
Hard is this business? Every week we work about another top restaurateur who can't pay the wages or has not been paying the correct
but
wages.
But sometimes they expand too much. They want too much and they get greedy. I think this is what happens.
Right.
So, you know, one of the top restaurants in the world is Attica, run by the great Ben Shuri.
Mm.
There's one, he's got one restaurant. That's where he pours his heart and soul and everything into that. That's where his reputation lies, in one restaurant. I think when you start fiddling around and expanding.
Macca's about to go broke then, aren't they?
Macca's will be fine. Yeah. They got a juicy cheese, but they're making their food a bit juicier.
I heard about that.
Yeah, there's a secret recipe going around.
So listen,
I just find that, Jamie said, I'm devastated that our much-loved UK restaurants have gone into administration. I'm deeply saddened. We put our hearts and souls into this. But that's an end of an era. But
you let yourself down.
Well, 22 restaurants, mate. Come on, it's hard.
000. What was your signature dish?
Oh, I'll tell you what it was. It was a pasta dish, and it was one big piece of pasta with an egg cooked in the middle. So when you cut the pasta, the runny yolk comes out.
And that's what we're out of business right there. There it is.
Oh, there's a bit of Parmesan on top.
By the way, don't fret for Jamie Oliver, because while his restaurants may be defunct, the man's still worth about $300 million because of all his TV shows and everything else.
I'm fretting for the people who lose their jobs.
The business, the restaurants are gone. But
did you ever go to a Jamie Oliver restaurant?
No, the one in Melbourne burnt down before I could get there.
Oh. I think that's
in suspicious circumstances too, I might add.
But his motives were giving jobs to kids who are on the skids, basically, or perhaps just out of jail.
23, was that what it was called?
Yes, 25, I think, was it? 23?
I think you have a legal 15 age.
I think it depends where the address was.
Okay.
It changed all the time. Anyway, that's an end of an era.
All right, bad luck. So go get yourself a hot dog van. And
I reckon Uber Eats is having a big impact too on all these restaurants.
He's not painting a very cheery picture.
Well, I'm not. Go out to more restaurants.
All right, people, go out and eat. Don't cook at home.
Go and support the restaurant industry.
All right, when we come back, lots more to talk about.
Thanks to HSV, the Chevrolet Silverado. It does everything big, very big.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
I know you love musical theatre, Mickey.
It's my passion.
Yes.
It's my passion. If I don't have You've anywhere else to be, I'm very good at musicals. Yeah. Skid. I was in Smike.
Right.
I was...
you play unusual characters.
Beggar's Opera. Yeah. I did a wide range of...
You did. You're very...
Greece.
Very talented.
I did Grease, yes, I did. Yes,
hasn't
I did.
Done
it. I did so.
No. Really?
Well, not the whole thing, but it was like an end of year review, and I did Grease Lightning.
Who did
I
you play?
Out. I played did Danny Zuko. Who else am I going to be?
Kaneki.
Who else would you be?
Kaneki, that's who I was going to say.
Shut up. Kaneki was an idiot.
Let's not go there again.
Kaneki.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. Is he dead?
Okay.
Could be like Olivia.
No, I don't think so.
Husband is.
Hey, there's big news. Big news for Australia. Huge news. I'm passing on that.
Did you want to hear it again?
You won't play, will
Do you want to hear this is Mick talking to Olivia Newton? I think we should hear it.
You lost a cast member this week, did you, from Greece?
Jeff,
yeah.
I don't know that it has.
Pardon me, I may have gone.
He was married to my sister, and she's been in there, and he's not doing very well.
Okay, no, sorry to hear that.
You're trying to hurry her up.
In my defense, I was right. I was love Paul Rowe. I got the Deadpool before the Deadpool.
Every time I hear that, it's just more insane. It's like,
what's your musical news?
Hamilton is coming to Australia, and this is like the biggest musical in the world.
Right.
Not only is it coming to Australia, Sydney have won the right to be able to perform.
Now this is fiercely contested, isn't it?
It is around Australia. You've got to pitch
all
for
the
these.
Major cities have
Melbourne will be so pissed off because, you know, they like to think they're the musical capital of Australia.
Well, they had Book of Mormon, and I have to say, if we talk musicals, generally I can't abide the medium, but the Book of Mormon is one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It's up there with Nonsense. Which was a great...
Menopause the
Musical, yeah. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Hamilton is coming to Australia.
What does that mean?
This is huge. Well...
When?
February 2021.
Now, is this when... Because when this... February...
2021. Yes, it takes that long to get the whole thing in place. They've been trying to get this, but taken 3 years of negotiation.
Before then. I'm going to get one together and pop it on.
Spoiler production.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's...
Herberton, I call it. It's going to be great.
It's written and directed and was starring Lin-Manuel Miranda.
So he's obviously coming out with the cast?
No, he's not. Because what you want to do is you want to have an Australian cast. But I've seen Hamilton... in New York.
Oh, wow.
Oh, pardon me, Your Majesty. Oh,
well, you know that
I... from France, did you?
I love my musicals.
Sick of your giant strawberries. Yeah. So if you're not having giant strawberries for breakfast with champagne...
Hey, plenty of people.
You're in New York. You flew to New York to see Hamilton.
No, I didn't fly to New York to see Hamilton.
Yes, you did. You know,
I went to New York. I happened to be in New York.
Right.
And they decided, Jane's here, why don't we put on a musical?
Tickets I got were so expensive and we were literally up in the gods.
You're not helping yourself.
No, we were so far away, I literally needed binoculars.
I heard that people were paying $5,000 a ticket for
this. That's rubbish.
Because it was the toughest ticket in town.
Yeah, that's if people want to sit in the front row and book ahead of time. Yeah, I was right up in the gods.
Interesting.
I'm telling you.
It cost you a bomb.
No, and it was one of the most awe-inspiring,
really
amazing productions I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
It changed my world.
Devil's advocate, if I may. It's got nothing to do with you. It's culturally. It's
doesn't matter.
It's about American politics.
Who cares?
Yeah, it involves rap music. It involves.
Let's hear a bit of it. You want to hear? Okay. The $10 founding father without a father got a lot farther by working a lot harder by being a lot smarter by being a self-starter by 14. They placed him in charge of a trading charter. Well, the word got around. They said, this kid is insane, man. Took up a collection just to send him to the mainland. Get your education. Don't forget from whence you came. And the world's gonna know your name. What's your name, man? Alexander Hamilton. Okay, so...
You know what it needs?
What?
Little Old Town Road.
Oh.
Little Old Town Road.
You know what,
like Little Ness. It was in Hamilton.
Yeah,
then you've got me.
Yeah, that's true.
That would sound
well, the story
like...
Is, got the horses
in the bag. Here comes Hamilton.
I could see this is a mashup. Is Maddie Black,
got the boosters black. Good boy, too, good.
Alexander Hamilton. Hey.
Now, why does that mean? Now, okay. Is there a place for me? What happened to hello,
darling?
Well, darling.
This is what happens. Do you want the future of musicals? Do you want young people to go to musicals?
I couldn't care less.
Well, I do.
Honestly,
and I care. And I think there's also some sweet, beautiful songs
How
in
long
it as
it
well.
Go?
It's long. It's long.
So this is the thing.
An hour. A bit more?
A bit more.
There's no excuse for too long. Hey, I'm here for a quick game.
No,
quick
it's value for
game.
Money. And you
no,
know what?
It's you're, not value for money.
No, you're right, though, when you say, who wants to go and see the story about Alexander Hamilton, who was like one of America's founding fathers? He was the first treasurer of the United States. Mm. It sounds a
who
little
cares?
Dry.
Boring.
Well, what Lin... what Lin-Manuel Miranda has done with it
is
awesome.
Did you take a mistress?
Awesome. Yeah, there's plenty of mistresses. There's plenty
great.
Of bawdiness. There's, you know,
hello.
Girls, wenchy-looking singers.
Go on. Bury the lead.
That is not the lead about Alexander Hamilton.
We all know what theatre is. It's good for a bit of middle-class porn.
Oh,
that's its strong side.
Congratulations to everyone in Sydney who is behind getting
there.
So
is this
that's
when you
amazing.
Book a ticket and it takes 5 years to finally get there?
Yep. Or? Just suffer in your jocks and you'll love it when you see it. And, wow, I can imagine all this right. is going to be life-changing for the cast. In Australia.
Awesome. All right. Well done. You win this round, Sydney. We'll be back after this. I'm going to talk about King Edward VII's sex chair.
Okay.
Well,
wrap yourself in.
A drive home that's a little unpredictable. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Guys, we don't know much about the sex lives of the royal family.
Speak for yourself.
Apart from the fact that they sleep with most of their family members. Tends to get a little inbreedy.
Does.
But there was a massive... a scandal back in the day. We're talking about King Edward VII, or as he was otherwise known sometimes as Dirty Birdie, or Edward the Caresser.
Oh.
That's
because
already creeping
he
me out.
Was known to have his way with the women. He loved the women. He would often nick off to France, where they had a very good brothel, and he would entertain the ladies there, sometimes two or more at a time. He was up to it. He was a larger gent. As time went on.
What did he like to dine on? What kind of
his,
things?
Thing.
I think he liked to have basically like claret by the litre.
Claret, you say?
Puddings, pigeon pies.
Well, couldn't care less, really, when it comes to his eating habits. I'm more interested in what he's doing between the sheets. Now, this guy had a special chair designed for him to make it easier for him to sleep with women. Mm. It's called the Royal Sex Chair or the Siege d'Amour.
Tell me more, kind sir.
The love seat. Well, I've seen that, and it looks great. It looks kind of like your temper bed.
Oh, is that right? The mattress, yeah.
It's
yeah,
got
okay.
a couple of different positions.
Yeah, yeah.
Dave.
Legs go up, legs go down.
Legs go up, legs go down. And it's got a couple of people looking at it, stunned, scratching their heads. It's like something that you've assembled from IKEA. But you don't really know how it operates. I'm suggesting to you it's like a bit of a recliner rocker.
Yeah. I know.
It does have a drink holder.
Does it?
No, it doesn't. To hear it explained more properly, here is Royal Watcher with all the guff.
Okay.
The sex chair that Bertie used, it's upholstered and it has arms, and it really takes a lot of imagination to try to figure out exactly where everybody would be going and at what time, and bearing in mind that he was very heavy at this point in his life.
Clearly, the intention was that a woman would lie on the lower one, woman would lie on the higher one with her feet in the stirrups, and then basically Edward could alternate between the two women as he saw fit.
Okay.
I'm going to put one of those in front of the telly while I'm watching the Tigers.
This is the way that he just says, so gentlemanly, as he saw fit.
There's Dirty Bertie.
There's Dirty Bertie.
Put her legs in the air and then got comfy.
Good God. I mean, I thought things that were happening in Game of Thrones was disturbing.
No!
Did you know there is a sex chair museum?
Really?
There is. I've just found one online.
Wow. See you there.
In Prague.
Oh, I might give him a couple. You wouldn't sit on any of those chairs,
no.
would you?
No.
Like one, but hey, while we're talking creepy chairs,
yeah.
I mean, I can't leave the segment without running this one by you.
What?
It reminds me very much of the Pope's testicle chair.
What?
I beg your pardon?
You know what I'm talking
no,
about.
No, I don't. No. I've never heard of this in my life.
Oh, come on.
I've never heard of it.
Well, the Pope Benedict III... had to organise a testicle chair, and it's a chair with no, like a commode where you sit on and your testicles
how dare you say commode?
Dangle through it.
Hang on.
So some aides can do a little stock take and make sure you are actually in command of a couple of testicles, because we all know who to blame, Pope Joan.
Pope Joan?
Pope Joan,
1855
to 1857, was, according to legend, a woman, not
shocking.
A man.
Oh, interesting.
And thereafter, they decided, I'm sure they had fun too, if I know what's going on down
well,
the
I'm
Vatican.
Well, I'm just thinking, yeah.
It's a testicle chair. There's the chair. It's still in existence. You just pop the nads through there. And
I think we know why it was invented. If they're dangling underneath.
Yeah, well, there's two trusted aides. You know, like guys in a mechanic shop who get under the car?
One's got the wrench out.
A couple of guys. You see a couple of legs sticking out from under the Pope's chair. Two reliable clerics touch the testicles.
Oh, how do you get that gig, they're asking.
Witnesses who present legal advice of his maleness. And at this point, the priest and the people respond, Deo gratias. Thanks be to God.
Oh.
I hear a bit of that often when people touch my testicles.
I beg your pardon. You don't belong.
Thanks be to God.
You don't have a cult, do you?
No.
That is very cult-like,
by the way.
But I'd
love a testicle chair.
You would not.
Yeah, you know
you
what
don't
to get me
that.
For my birthday.
I don't even want to think of what that involves.
That's fantastic.
You've got your potty.
So, look, you can get me, you've got one or two. You can either get me a replica, a faithful replica of King Edward VII's
sex chair,
Dirty Birdie sex chair, or a testicle chair.
Mm. You don't want cufflinks?
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Mom! What kind of mother am I?
I'm up for a father of you.
I'm afraid I'll be forced to call social services.
You know, when I was little, I used to pretend you weren't my mother.
Me too.
Time now for another entry into the Journal of Bad Parenting.
A dad of four had to be rescued by firefighters after he got stuck in a kid's playground spring rocker. Now, the imaging of this is pretty funny. What happened was his youngest daughter wouldn't get in this little helicopter springy. It's one of those ones on the
like.
Spring.
Yep.
And they're pretty
short.
Well, they're tiny. And she said she wouldn't try it until Daddy did first. Daddy, you do it, she said. So he got in and it was a bit of a tight squeeze. And then he sort of jiggled around on it for a few minutes, had a bit of fun, said, now it's your turn. Couldn't get out.
You idiot.
He was wedged in, he ripped his trousers and he smashed his phone and they had to call the firefighters.
That happened to the Pope on the testicle chair. It did. He had to call the fire brigade.
Well,
so the fire brigade turn up, Dad's stuck in a tiny children's playground toy.
Correct.
What are the kids doing?
Well, have a listen. We've got audio of what happened.
Stop re-recording, man. Get lost.
No,
don't.
That's his wife.
I want to go on it.
Stop hogging it, Dad.
Yep.
The dad was hogging it. He was eventually rescued by four firefighters who had to screw the frame off to release him.
I tell you what, firefighting is an interesting job.
You know,
if it's not to get something out of someone's rectum
or a kid's thumb in a bathtub hole.
Yeah.
They should have a separate firefighting department.
I want to see that show, like firefighting. You know,
Crappy rescues, firefighting.
101.
Trees? Yeah, go ahead.
So we're doing bad parenting.
Yeah.
What about this dad? A man from America who stole $700 out of his daughter's Girl Scout cookies cash to pay for an erotic massage.
Oh, no. That's worse.
I'll hear him out.
No. Look. That's no good. That's a bad
But worse, didn't he say something terrible? Afterwards, he'd called police saying a stranger had come into his home and he faked an invasion saying somebody else stole the money till they worked out it was him.
Because he was sitting there all happy.
He invented the story and staged the house invasion.
She has raised $700 from her Girl Scout cookies. Dad's gone, yoink. I'll have those.
Nah.
Terrible.
That's a shock. All right, what about these parents?
What? By the way, 133353. If you want to get involved, give us a call right now.
A couple in Hamburg. One of you, you love Germany. Have you been to Hamburg?
And I love hamburgers. I'm Berlin. I'm a Berlin man. Tell me that's where the hamburger comes from.
Well, I don't think so.
I wouldn't thought so.
I think they come from USA.
Oh, sorry, Dave.
Well, ham's in the name.
So worldly.
I think you'll find the burger originates somewhere else.
Right, but the Frankfurt comes from Frankfurt.
Well, let's put that down as taken. All right. A mother and father were leaving hospital. She just had the baby. And they got a taxi and they've got a one-year-old as well. So they get in the taxi, they put the baby in the capsule in the taxi and they all hop out. They get the one-year-old out of the seat. They get in the house and they go, oh, what have we forgotten? The newborn baby is still in the taxi.
Oh, no.
It's driven off. And then it wasn't discovered till he was at the airport. Yeah. And a couple got in the back and there's a newborn baby.
That's no accident.
That's
I can
not
tell
good.
You.
I just looked up hamburger, by the way.
Thank you.
Late 19th century from German.
Thank you.
Hamburg.
Thank
beg
you.
Your pardon.
Oh, well, it's so hard, really.
Don't get me started on the Frankfurt. Don't get me started. Here we go. We've got a call. Christian.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. Bad parenting. You've done it?
Yeah, look, I was out with the kids one night, family dinner, and the missus, and thought it'd be a funny idea to amuse the kids by jumping into a high chair.
Yes.
Oh, no.
How'd that go for you, Christian?
It didn't end up too well. Ended up stuck in the high chair for 40 minutes and had to actually break the plastic tray at the front.
That's funny.
To get you out.
Again, was it the fire department that were called?
No fire department, just staff. And turns out a lot of people started walking in after I did this silly thing.
I hope a lot of people got a photo of you in it, Christian.
Yeah, it was a big red face.
Yes, that's what the Jaws of Life was designed for. Thanks, Christian. Brad's on the line. Brad, you bad parent?
Oh, I reckon the worst. I near killed my my newborn baby girl. Freshly home from the hospital, doing the daddy thing. I thought I'd change the nappy. Thought, yep, I've got this.
You're so proud.
Exactly. Lifted her up with the big smile, the necklace. Ching, ceiling fan.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah. Oh, Brad.
Look, I know. You're not the only one. Mate, I know a mate of mine who runs a news agent. He did that to his daughter as well. They never get over it.
That's unbelievable.
You'll never recover from that, Brad.
No, I didn't. It took me 2 months of saying to anyone.
How old's your daughter now?
How's she going? She got wears a little helmet everywhere she goes.
You've got a little bit of a limp, but no.
I'm off it. We better put Brad on.
Give Brad something.
Prize pack for Brad. Yeah, absolutely.
Good on you, Brad.
Kim, bad parenting?
Oh, definitely.
What
yes,
happened?
I'm guilty of this. Expo 88, child in stroller. Didn't think he needed to be strapped in. He wasn't old enough to wriggle around. Going down the stairs in front of a pub, which I hadn't been to, by the way, at this stage.
Yep.
But he slipped out down the stairs.
Oh, Tim.
He bounced very well.
Great stuff.
Look, kids are soft. They tend to bounce.
Did go to that pub.
And then did you enjoy it in front of your own videos? I would have. You could have won a camcorder or something.
Back in 88, I didn't have a phone like that.
Yeah, all right. Well done, Kim.
We'll love your calls. All. Thank you, everyone.
Hey, up next, he's in studio about to perform, Jimmy Barnes. Ooh.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
Last year, Jimmy Barnes launched a very successful doco on his life, went on tour, and ended up in hospital.
You fell through a gap in the stage.
Yeah. And, you know, the good thing was I screamed that much, nobody really noticed anyway.
Gee, he's on tonight.
Yeah. He's really good tonight.
He's really building up the classics.
But it hasn't slowed him down, as he says he's working on a third book, has teased something in the works for Chisel, just announced a national tour for September and October, and next week drops a deeply personal new album. Well, I came from a broken home. Featuring the first new Jimmy Barnes songs in over a decade. It's called My Criminal Record. It's My Criminal Record. It's the truth. Here to perform another new song, Shutting Down Our Town, please welcome back Jimmy Barnes.
From the carrower deep into the night. The roads are filled with kids playing after dark, sent to get the fathers who were drinking at the bar. And eat, sleep, work, drink, that's all they ever did. And you know they're shutting down our town. They're cutting down our town. No production line, blue collar can't be found. They're tearing to the ground. They're shutting down our town. Oh, they're shutting down our town. And I started fading hell before I came of age, running from my past, clenched fits of rage. Through every other day, never looking back. And everyone I knew was out there on the streets. Every lesson learned kept me on my feet. But I can't help thinking of the ones I left behind. And you know they're shutting down our town. They're cutting down our town. No production line, blue collar can't be found. They're tearing to the ground. They're shutting down our town. Oh, they're shutting down our town. Tearing to the ground. Oh, yeah, they're shutting down our town. Tearing at its heart, wasn't much to look at from the very start. Heard it all together from many different lands. The old folks sit around. Why they're shutting down our town? You know they're tearing to the ground. They're shutting down our town.
but the rest are changing way too fast. Yeah, they're shutting down our town. They're cutting down our town. No more production line. Blue collar can't be found. They're jamming to the ground. They're shutting down our town. Shutting down our town. Whoa, they're shutting down our town. Whoa, yeah, they're shutting down our town. You know they're shutting down our town.
Jimmy Barnes on Kennedy Malloy, and announced this morning that Barnsley is hitting the road on his Shutting Down Your Town tour across Australia, including special guests Eskimo Joe and Jet, touring nationally this September and October. Tickets on sale 9 a.m. next Friday, jimmybarnes.com. All the details there. Pre-order the brand new album called My Criminal Record now. And joining us in studio, here he is, the legend that is Jimmy Barnes.
His quick sticks, oh, right from rocking it out. Bang, he's in the studio. Barnsley, that was bloody unreal.
It was a bit of fun, wasn't it?
It's a bit sad.
It's a bit sad to hold.
Well, that's sad
it,
isn't it?
So that was the major form of employment in the Elizabeth area when you were there?
It was one of the, basically Elizabeth, which was in north of Adelaide,
was built
around the Holden factory.
There's an air base there as well, I think.
Edinburgh Air Base. Yeah. And, but I think basically the government gave, sold Holden's this plot of land and said, if you build a factory there, we'll supply you with a workforce.
A workforce,
And filled the place with immigrants. I mean, I actually worked in Holden's for about 4 days.
Okay. four days is not a long stint.
It's not a long stint. No.
Well, that went wrong.
Didn't finish the week, Barnes.
What went right? That was a long stint for me. That was a long stint. But no, it was one of those things where...
I'd like to see the car you made. I'd like to see that one running around.
Dodgy. but it was one of those things where everybody sort of worked in and out of there. But, I mean, there was a sort of... Holden's gave the place a sort of sense of, of being, you know.
Yeah. It sounds like a real community.
And it was like, you know, suddenly you could hold your head up because you were making enough money to feed your kids, you know.
And if you weren't working at Holden, you're working in some subsidiary to Holden or the cafe down the road where all the workers go and eat.
That's right. And then, when they lost their jobs, not only did they lose their sort of sense of pride, the sense of, you know, being able to supply for the kids, look after their kids, but because it was Holden's, all Australians have this pride in the Holden, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I've played at bloody Bathurst, you know? I've been there when people have been yelling at me, get yourself
they'd
a bloody...
They love you at Bathurst.
Get yourself a bloody Holden, Barnsley. You know?
Well, it's football, meat pies, kangaroos and Holden cars.
And that's it. It's perfect. As it goes... So they took away Holden's, and it was like taking away part of their sort of the reason for being.
Of course it does.
When I wrote that first Working Class Boy book, Troy Cassidaly, who wrote the song.
This is a great story.
Troy rang me up, like immediately he'd finished the book and said, I want to write a song about Elizabeth. And I said, great. You know, and I was wondering how it would go. And he sent me the lyrics, and I just thought, he's nailed it. He's really nailed the sentiment of what was missing in that.
A big shout out to Troy Cassidaly, because that
what
is just ripping. What a crack. And well, you know what I love too? Don't worry, it's got that anthemic feel, Jim, because I'm doing the whoa.
See, don't worry. And it's funny because it reminds me, it's a bit of a bookend to Working Class Man.
Totally
in that zone.
Working Class Man was written by an American looking in at my audience, looking at the people who worked in Holden.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like a bit jolly and it's nice and it's happy and it's an anthemic and all that. And I really love it.
Yep.
But this song is sort of the darker evil cousin of that.
But I love it. It's
the sad,
sensitive. It's beautiful.
Sad,
now, what are you
underbelly?
Doing? Yeah, you've gone mad. I thought you would be having a nice retiring year ahead. and Jane.
No, go on
a bit of a nice leisurely holiday to the south of France.
We did that as well.
We did do that. We might have caught up when we were overseas together at a stage and had great fun. But no, you've gone bonkers, mate. You're travelling around the world with this big tour coming up starting in September.
Mm-hmm.
Queensland, bloody New South Wales. I'm doing a lot of swearing.
Yeah, yeah. I have that effect. I have that effect on people. Don't worry. It's me and Mick. We have that effect.
That's
on
it. Go for your life. Sorry about we won't blush. Yeah, I guarantee
it. Hey, everyone, you've got to jump on board this Barnes Road Tour. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. And Jed is supporting some of the shows as well, Jane, which would be fantastic.
Yeah, which is awesome, you know, because, you know, I'm
so glad they're back together.
So am I. And I was talking to Chris Cheney, who did some shows with them the other day, and he just said they're awesome.
Oh,
he said they're so on now, and they're really firing. So I'm really looking forward to him. You know, he's such a great singer.
Are you working harder than you've ever worked before? What are you doing, mate?
Well, you know, I've actually got a lot. It's funny, you know, when you're not recovering all the time. It's just ridiculous how much spare time you've got.
How long has this been going on?
That's hilarious.
Why did I miss this, you know?
What's that big ball in the sky? What do you call it?
Is that daylight? Is that daylight?
The sun.
I'll tell you what.
It's literally like that, though, because I wake up and I go, okay, what am I going to do today? I'm writing another book. I've already got another kid's book in at publishers at the moment.
Fantastic.
I'm writing a fiction as well as a non-fiction.
And your new album, My Criminal Record, out 31st of May, right in the wheelhouse of Triple M, because, you know, I've never seen a bigger audience here, actually, than we had. The whole building's come out to see you.
Well, you know, in the old days, I played smaller audiences in pubs.
does it give you a buzz still when you know everybody's working and they go, pen's down, Barnes is in the house?
Well, you have to think, now, is it an excuse just to get away from the desk? listen, I'm really happy
you
to do it.
You helped build this radio station.
I know,
big part of it. Now, I heard a rumour, Chisels. Anything you can tell me?
Well, we're going into, in June, to we started ranking.
Bang!
There will be, I reckon there'll be a Cold Chisel record probably by the end of the year.
Oh, okay. Man.
And there'll be a Cold Chisel tour starting at the end of the year.
There'll be a Cold Chisel tour.
Yeah, and the other thing, I want to make three records in this year. I've got this one, I've got Cold Chisel, and I want to make a rockabilly record with Chris Cheney and Slim Jim Phantom from Stray Cats.
Perfect.
So that'll be, like early next year.
That's a trifecta, right?
Someone needs to shoot you in the ass with a tranquilizer.
Don't just encourage me. They tried that.
It's hard. They can't keep him down. Jimmy Barnes, we love having you on Kenny Malloy.
Thanks for Daniel and Benny.
A legend.
As well on guitar.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks, boys.
Don't miss out. Jimmy Barnes shutting down your town tour, including special guests Eskimo Joe and Jet, touring nationally this September and October. Tickets on sale 9 a.m. next Friday. JimmyBarnes.com for all the details.
Beautiful.
Very nice to see you guys.
Great. Cheers, mate.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, and it's going to be a monster coming up. Have you had a big night out? One man woke up, he had no penis.
Well, that's
a big night out.
Sure it is. I'm sure you've been in a similar situation.
Tell me about it. That old one.
That old one.
It's hard. You have to retrace your steps.
I'm pretty sure I've had some big nights too.
All right, but we're going to ask you how you know you've had a big night out. When you wake up, what's going on?
Tell us
all about it. We're going to take your calls. We're going to take your tweets. There's plenty to get through, but let's start at the top with this woman.
The last time Anne Edmonds was in, we learnt that she loves to cook.
I've got that new Otterlingy?
Yes.
Simple,
yes.
Which I thought, here we go, I can manage this. Simple.
Well, you can't even pronounce simple.
It. How are you going to make it?
And we learnt that Jane prioritises wine over radio.
I like it a lot.
Excellent news. Well, what are you up to at the moment? Because you've had a bit of a break.
I haven't been doing
much. You just went off mic while you poured yourself a wine.
I was moving the bottle so I could read.
Completely off mic.
Really unprofessional.
Charge your glasses and welcome back, Anne Edmonds.
Jeez, I'm sorry you had to be here that day, Anne.
I'm happy you were here for that.
Yeah, that was great.
Did you go and tell everyone?
I got a glass, didn't I?
You did.
Loved it. No wine bottle today. I noticed that when
we both got little sniffles today, so we're on the cups of tea.
Welcome back, and congratulations on... Have you been paying attention on a Monday night?
Good
you were
fun.
Very good. I am suing the producers. I believe I got a drive
defamed, by. Defamed.
You might have got a little clip along the way.
That's all good. Mm. What else is happening in your world?
Oh, you know, I've taken up, speaking of drinking, I know you were talking about people hangovers, I've taken up port. Of all things.
Good Lord. Now, what walk me through this, Anne.
Well, I don't know. The comedy festival.
You're a 70-year-old man.
Yes, I am. That's the twist. No, I finished the comedy festival and, you know, we went away into the country with like an open fire and I thought, I need port. This is what I need.
The old worldy port. Tawny.
See, it's an delicious. Open fire. You can't have an open fire unless it's accompanied by a good port.
I think so.
What's your style? You're like a tawny port?
A tawny. Well, I don't know much about
difference?
It. Yeah, exactly.
Grandfather.
Port's so port.
Grandfather. If you go to your standard bottle shop, especially in a rural area, and ask for the ports, they look at you a bit strangely.
Do they?
And then direct you to the worst shelf in the whole bottle shop.
A bit dusty.
Very dusty. It's the shelf it's on the bottom. You would have seen it before. It's got sort of 9 litre bottles of sherry for $6. It's got.
Yes.
And I hadn't been.
Yes, I do know.
You
that
know that shelf.
Shelf. Oh, yeah.
You know that shelf. And I hadn't been to that shelf since my teenage years because that's where the Stones. Ginger beer.
Stone's ginger wine. Stone's ginger wine.
Yes.
That was a good off. There was also summer wine.
Yes.
I personally was a blackberry nip man.
All right.
Well, I was a blackberry nip woman.
Wow.
But not by choice.
I don't even know what that is.
Can somebody please go and find, do they still make it?
They still, can we get some blackberry nip down at the
it's
liquor store?
It's close to a port.
Is it?
When you've knocked over a bottle of blackberry nip, you're anybody's.
Yeah. And also,
you're open for business.
There's a lot of mums that had to clean up a lot of purple spew.
Yeah, right.
After blackberry nip that I know of the girls that I grew up with.
But it was in that price range.
Yes.
It was in the Blue Nun
Benin
price range.
Putrid.
Yeah, and the ginger wine was like almost like syrup. Like you could pour it ice cream if you wanted to.
What about in the cocktail department. Did you ever partake of a fluffy duck? I still sometimes going into some of the finest cocktail bars around the world and going, and I'll have a beer and a couple of fluffy ducks for the ladies, thank you. Just to see the look on their face.
That's exactly the cocktail I was thinking of. Grasshopper was another
one. Grasshopper?
Yeah, that's right.
There's one with a cowboy in the title that I won't. I won't say in full, but we all know what it is.
Yes, but I never had one of those.
Well, they're shots.
Oh,
and that's got to be the most bogan thing you can ask for is a round of cops and robbers or whatever it's called. That's the bogan drink.
How did you get?
The two I remember, which you don't hear a lot about these days, was the Tequila Sunrise.
Oh yes.
So that was tequila orange juice with red cordial.
Yeah.
And it just looked great.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes my teeth.
Or its more popular cousin, the jelly bean. Which is ouzo lemonade and red cordial.
Wow.
I was known to go a little bonkers after about 42 jelly beans.
This is bringing back such bizarre memories. But how did you get your
Frankston lockup?
Oh, really? Yeah. How did you get your alcohol?
Well,
our
strategy in Essendon, where I grew up, was the classic Friday night. Wait for the tradies. So you'd wait for the tradies to knock off.
Yeah.
At about 4 o'clock, and go and wait near the bottle shop. And they'd inevitably.
This is true. This is look, hey, we're both Catholic school.
Yeah, we
Catholic
know.
School
no, this.
Are you still in your school uniform?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, and you hitch that up, and
it's
then
the selling point.
And then, because they were always coming for their Friday night slab.
That's true.
And you'd pull one aside and say, "Oi, I'll buy you your slab plus $20. Plus, can you get me a bottle of Stones ginger wine?" And every time they would do it.
They would do it.
Yeah.
What about the coolers? Did you ever get into the coolers, like the West Coast coolers?
Oh, yeah, a bit of a cask.
The island coolers.
Yeah.
They were never around in my day. The casks were, but it was Moselle.
Lovely.
Or claret.
We had always one of those on the kitchen table, a classy family that mum and dad would pour out.
We were the cast queen and king of the suburb I grew up in.
I tell you what, you're home and hosed if you bought your girlfriend a carafe of Moselle and orange.
Oh, yeah.
How romantic.
Oh, hey, that's great to reminisce. Hey, we're going to come back. I think we're down getting some blackberry nip now. We have a taste test. Yes.
Anne Edmonds is with us. This is Kennedy Malloy. Hey, by the way, the podcast The Grub with Anne is available where you get your podcasts. More after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Anne Edmonds as well. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Welcome back. I'm just trying to think about, we were talking about how you got alcohol when you're underage.
Yeah.
I know we didn't have a pretty strict down Frankston way, and if you didn't have your license, so what we used to do is we'd all go and steal one of our mum's cars and go through the drive-thru. Because that way...
Yeah, of course you're over 18.
I'm over 18. What do you want to see, light? What do you want to see, mate?
Did you need to sit on phone books?
Anyway, that was our mature response to this situation.
That's funny.
I believe we're trying to get either a bottle of blackberry nip or
Stone's ginger wine, or some nice tawny port.
I'm worried I'm going to be triggered if they open the Stone's ginger wine and I smell it, and I'm going to have some sort of violent episode in here.
Like letting a genie out of the
bottle. Now, you've been off to the movies this week. What blockbuster did you see?
Just yesterday I saw The Realm.
What's that?
It's like a Spanish film about...
Oh, God.
I'm I'm a bit highbrow. I'm the sort of things that Queensland voters hate. Personified.
What is The Realm about?
It's about corruption in Spanish politics. So anyway.
Sounds like a bit of head scratcher.
Good
times.
No, actually.
What?
Which was unusual.
There aren't many things I expect from Spanish film.
Yeah, I know.
But Norg's Akimbo would be one of them.
I presume that you had to concentrate. Was it subtitled?
It was subtitled. Okay. So there was a lot of, you had to, and the Spanish speak very fast. So the words were also moving very quickly across the screen. So that's but in the movie, speaking of drinking again, in the cinema was a row of very badly behaved people, but they were baby boomers. It was baby boomers with a bottle of wine acting like how teenagers on the bus. They were like
this is a gold class type cinema.
No, it's just a comfy sort of artsy cinema.
Right. Like a director's cinema. One of those things with the big chairs.
And there's some lofty 50-plus-year-olds.
Yeah, and so it was only us
misbehaving.
And them. Yeah. And they were passing the bottle of wine, giggling, talking over things. And halfway through we had to turn around and say, "You need to stop talking."
Oh my God, that's confronting. Wow. What tone of voice did you have, Ms. Edmonds?
I said, "Can you please stop speaking?" During them like that to these baby boomers.
How'd they take it?
They were like, "Oh, sorry." Like, what is going on here?
I'm a little with them.
Really?
Oh, no. Of course not. I can't stand when people talk in the ads.
It's the
worst.
I've
got to see a movie. Shut up. It's only 2 hours.
Can I say
this?
I don't... Can I say this, though? There's no place for alcohol. You know me, I love alcohol. There's no place for alcohol in a cinema.
Are you serious?
I don't get into gold class. I don't understand.
What?
Mate, I'm a Coke and a bucket of popcorn type of guy. Mm. Maybe a choc top. Mm. But all the other
stuff. Have fun by yourself at the movies.
You want your Missy Goring and your
I don't have Nazi Goring.
You want all
I have my big topped up wine.
Can't you
and I have
just
my
for
nuts.
Like an hour and a half?
You blueberry
enjoy
nip.
The cinematic experience.
No, I can't. It makes the cinematic experience all the more.
Yeah, it is a new development, isn't it? The
I love it.
It's
there.
Non-traditional.
I'm a woman of change. Catch up.
We've got some stones on the way, by the way. So
No.
Oh, hello.
Oh, my God. And they've got glasses. Yuck.
Ginger wine.
What is
it based on?
You love this.
Nightmares, I think.
Green ginger wine.
Stones,
is it ginger in it?
Green
ginger. Oh, God.
Hello, girls.
Hi, how much was it?
It was $12.99.
I don't think it's gone up.
Take it back.
$12.99.
We've been robbed.
We're dishing it out here.
I can smell it.
Ew. Oh, there it is. Oh, my God.
Jane's come for a couple of extra seats.
I feel like I'm about to pash a 14-year-old.
Be very careful when you leave the
street. There's one standing right behind you. Be careful.
Oh, it's got a bit of sharpness.
Oh, it's not nice.
Oh, it's a bit sharp, is it? Oh, no. For $12 a bottle. Sorry, Jane.
It's catching me at the back of my throat.
Jane flies to France just to have some champagne for breakfast. Yeah. So you can imagine it. What would you do?
What year is this?
I'm going to have a guess and say 2019.
I think you might be spot on.
Oh, it's fun and games in the studio here. We'll go to a song and we'll come back and we'll be really tipsy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for swinging by. Now, what's this podcast you're doing? Tell me about it.
The Grub. It's characters and we have
it. We talked about this. It sounds like a load of fun.
We talk about the election. We'll have an election wrap up this week.
Oh, excellent. I'd love to hear your take on that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. And you are going to do a gig in Brisbane very soon.
I'll be up in Brisbane soon. I don't know if tickets are on sale yet, but in September.
We'll stand by everyone in Brisbane. We've got Scott was just quickly going to say one drink that we've forgotten about.
Yes.
Hey, Scott, what have we left off the list?
Brandavino.
That was a ripper.
Brandavino.
Yuck.
Thanks for that walk down memory lane, Scott.
Jeez. Thanks, guys.
And Edmonds.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Grab the podcast. We had Jimmy Barnes perform earlier. You don't want to miss that. At kennedymalloy.com.au. Jane and Mickey are driving home.
We had Anne Edmonds on, who was great. We always loved seeing her. And she's talking about drinks that she was reminiscing about that she grew up Port she used to have.
Well, she's paving. She's pouring the port now, but back in the day, she was on the Stones ginger green wine. Ginger.
So we got a bottle in here. I had never had it before, and now I know.
And you're hooked. And now you're hooked. You won't drink anything else now.
No, because we were on the blackberry nip mick. You and I. That was my our sort
the blackberry nip wasn't a bad one. Remember the masala and Coke?
Yeah, we used to drink that.
So again, there was a Navy base near where I was growing up, and I used to work in the public bar at the local hotel, and they used to roll up like before opening. There'd be a queue.
What's masala? What's the taste like?
I don't know
what
it is. It's like a porty kind of thing.
Oh, is it? It's quite sweet.
With Coke and your bang. And
God, that's so rude.
They'd have 72 of those and they'd have a depth charge.
Okay.
Which was was a pot of beer with a shot of Drambuie dropped into it.
Oh, what?
And they were the first to leave. They were first to arrive and the last to leave, and they were always perfectly behaved.
Perfectly behaved. Mind you, it sounds
apart
pretty good.
Apart from your spew pen.
I like the Drambuie being dropped in the beer. Hey, we've had lots of calls about what something you used to drink. Mm. Hey, Ned, were you on the Stones original ginger?
Yeah, I've had a few, We're pretty good.
What'd you do with it? Did you have it straight?
No, it was too rough straight. What you want to do is, if you pour a beer, put an inch of Stones in the bottom.
That's right.
Fill that with beer and away you go.
I've heard about that.
Like a shandy.
Here's a tip for modern travellers.
I'm ready.
When, say hypothetically, you've drunk so much beer, you're not sure you can drink any more beer, the beer system, you're getting what I call a beard out.
Yeah.
Get a can of Red Bull.
Right.
And you just, I know it sounds terrible, but you just tip it's called a dollop. Uh-huh. And just a dollop into the top of the beer and it's like.
Right as rain?
It's like magic.
It keeps going, forge on.
You're back on deck. Look out.
And drink responsibly.
Well, that's of course.
I know, that's a
given. Parcel. Yeah.
Or not. Or drink irresponsibly.
A responsible thing to do would be to stop drinking.
Correct.
You can't drink too much
Let's
beer,
go to John. John, what did you used to get cracking on?
Cinzano.
Oh, now, a good Cinzano. Still around. That's still quite a nice, sophisticated drink. That goes in a martini, doesn't it?
It's
a bit of vermouth.
Parents and they thought it was great.
All right.
Have you had some now, John?
No.
Okay, good on you, John. Eddie's on the line. Eddie, what was your poison?
No, it was all the girls I used to know. Their poison used to be Spumanti.
Oh, my God, yes.
What a terrible name for a drink.
Spumanti. Yeah. I don't know who thought that was a good idea at the round table.
Too, wasn't it?
A bottle of Spumanti, ladies.
Oh, don't mind if I buff that up on the toilet about 4 hours later. Thanks.
Because after they used to have one or two, they'd be everywhere.
All right. Thank you. That wasn't our aim, but never mind.
Bit of an evil laugh from Eddie.
Eddie.
Yeah, and Stephen's there. Stephen, you had a night in the Stones green ginger wine.
Oh, mate, I've got to tell you, be careful drinking that stuff.
Why? What happened?
a few years ago, we went to the local RSL club one Friday night and we were getting the barman to put a shot of Stones green ginger wine in the schooners.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, by the end of the night, mate, it blew our socks off and my best mate, he was crawling around on the floor fighting. There was a table nice-looking ladies just across from it, and my mate was under the table biting these girls on the ankles.
Wow.
So just be careful there.
Okay, I think that's as good a cue for anything to go into our next topic.
Yes.
Which is how do you know when you've had a big night?
Okay.
Excellent idea.
Now, I wonder, we're doing this because a man woke up after a boozy night to discover his penis had been hacked off.
Oh, my God.
And he had no idea how it happened.
Well, they're not calling this a prank, are they?
Tan Nan had allegedly been out with friends in Hunan, southern China, when he became so drunk he fell asleep. When he came around the following morning, he felt a sharp pain in his groin and then noticed his genitals were being chopped off.
What?
Nan allegedly told cops he had no idea who was responsible for the cruel prank.
Maybe those ex-friends of yours.
It was his friends. His friends
That's
thought
not a prank.
This will be hilarious.
It's a criminal act.
We'll cut off his dick.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, none of the local hospitals were equipped to take him, so he was running around town with his dick in a jar.
Okay.
I'm afraid.
Beg your pardon.
So, we've all done it. No, you've woken up and you pat yourself down and you go, something's missing. Oh, it's me knob.
Okay,
where?
I don't want to hear
you'd have to
expression.
Start retracing your steps, going, where was I last? Who should I ring?
Okay.
Has anybody seen it?
All right, let's.
That's as good as any for a big night. How do you know when you wake up?
When you know you've had a big night, that is.
Gone a little too far.
Have you been down the RSL biting women on the ankle?
That's gone too
far. He's gone too far.
1-3-3-5-3 Australia. Call us now.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
You've opened up a can of worms, Mick, with this story.
It's an alcohol-fueled second hour here. And Edmund started it by bringing in the green stones, green ginger wine. We start talking about all the incredible drinks from our childhood. People are still ringing in with some of those. Blackberry Nick milkshake, I've just heard someone mention. That parlayed into how do you know when you've had a big night, possibly when you're getting around at your local RSL biting women on the ankle.
Yes.
That's a sign. Yeah. Or this bloke, a man who woke up after boozy night, discovered his penis had been hacked off. And his mates had done it as a prank.
And I'm opposed to calling that a prank, by the way.
You can't loosen up. See the funny side.
Not really.
Sure. Yes, he does.
So we started asking people, how do you know when you've had a big night? What's the telltale sign? Let's start with Phil. Phil, what happened to you?
Hey, guys. How you going?
Yeah, good.
Mickey.
Good.
I was in uni in the late 80s, and I was in charge of the cocktail table, and I introduced a lot of people to the Harvey Wallbanger.
What was that? That was
orange juice involved?
40 mil of Giuliano, 40 mil of vodka, topped up with a bit of OJ and mixed.
Yeah, good. Well done. All right, what happened to you?
After about, I don't even know how many of those I had, but I decided to walk home, and there was a private girls' school on the way home to my house, and it was in the middle of summer. I fell asleep in the middle of the playing pitches, and I woke up the next morning being prodded by about a dozen girls with hockey sticks.
Wow.
And, in the middle of this intra-club sports day.
Hockey one, hockey two.
Hockey one, hockey two.
Bang.
Oh, Phil, well done. Not a good place to disgrace yourself. Steve's on the line. Steve, what happened to you?
Oh, it was a shocker. Actually, it was a good night. It was a midnight oil concert at Redhead Beach.
Well done.
And, wow.
What could go wrong?
Well, nothing. But I smuggled a bladder of port into the bottom of my backpack.
Oh, my God.
And we danced the night away, and then I must have had a massive long blink because I woke up someone nudging me in the shoulder, and it was like, oh, hang on, what's going on? And it was a council worker, and I was actually sitting at the bottom of one of the kids' slides in the park in Redhead Beach.
Oh, classy.
Yeah. So the sweat's dribbling off me.
Mate.
You better get moving before the coppers nap you.
I woke up in a treehouse once.
Did you?
Of course you did.
A long time ago.
That one wasn't. You didn't do Captain Cook's Scottish.
Sadly, I wasn't alone.
Right. Oh, crikey. That's enough information for now, isn't it?
Hey, Derek, what happened to you?
Yes, mate. I was in the building industry again, late 80s-ish, I was walking home with a mate of mine. I was staying at his place because we were working together on the Saturday.
Yep.
And between Abbotsford and his place in Collingwood, there was about 27 pubs, so we had to stop at each one because that was a polite thing to do.
Yes, it was.
And just before he got home, he decided he was going to put a pavement pizza over someone's fence. And when he woke up in the morning, he gave me a big cheesy grin. He had a big gap in his teeth. Well, we had to go back to where he'd laid his pavement pizza, and he pulled his false teeth out of there.
He spit up his false teeth.
He spat up his false teeth, the poor bugger.
That's how you know you've had a big night.
That's a big night.
When you've got to go back and fish your dentures.
Out of your pizza spew.
Yes.
Yuck. That's no good.
I'll give him a prize.
All right, prize back for Derek.
I want to reward that behaviour. Yeah.
That's no good.
Ugh. All right, who's
Matt, I think, is next. Hey, yep. Matt, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good.
What happened, buddy?
Well, mine's early 90s, and about 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning, I got woken up by a tap on the shoulder, and sort of when I looked up, it was a policeman tapping me on the shoulder. And then when I looked around and I was in a cell with about 20 people. I thought, what have we done? I'd been on a Bucks night the night before, and then I sort of looked around and I didn't know anyone. I thought, what have I done?
Yeah.
So anyway, I paid my $2 bail. They gave me back my shoelaces, and I was released. So it turned out, it took me a few days to find out what had happened, but I'd actually, in the process of this Bucks night, moving from bar to bar, we started having races from telegraph pole to telegraph pole. And apparently I was leading, looking over my shoulder, ran straight into the telegraph pole, pretty much knocked myself out. And the guy put me in a taxi, gave the taxi driver $20 and said, take him home because, you know, yeah. no worry about OH&S in those days. And it looks like we assume the taxi driver's just gone around the corner, dropped me off at the Brisbane Watch House, under the 20 bucks. So, yeah. So I had no house keys or anything like that because I was meant to go home with one of the other guys. So I'm like sort of 7 o'clock in the morning tapping on windows of the students I live with going, someone let me in.
it's a great story. Yeah. It sounds like a night of nights. So I tell you what, we're going to go to a break, but we're going to keep taking your calls. 133353. Stay
this.
On the line because these are very funny stories.
How did you know when you've had a big night?
Yeah.
A drive home with a show motto is what could possibly go wrong? This is Kennedy Malloy.
Full border calls, by the way. 133353.
We do indeed. And I notice your phone's ringing off the hook too, Jane,
well,
from
I'm
all
not
your girlfriends. are making suggestions to you about offerings you could make to this segment. How do you know when you've had a big night? A man's woken up after a boozy night out to find his penis chopped off, and it was a prank pulled by his mates.
That is good times.
A big night. Well done,
what a good
everybody
bunch
involved.
Of mates.
It got us thinking, how do you know when you've had a big night? Perry's on the line. Perry, how do you know?
Evening, fellas. How are you?
Yeah, good.
What happened?
We had a big day at the Melbourne Cup.
Yep.
Bumped into some rugby players from Sydney and went down to a pub in South Melbourne.
Yep.
Drinking Mindbenders, which are cream de Montanuso.
Oh, my God. I'm writing that down
all right,
now, Perry.
Yes.
Next thing we knew, we were on the Oriana leaving Melbourne.
What? What do you mean?
You're on a ship.
We ended up on, sailing back to Sydney.
Jeez.
We're through the heads. One of the girls that was with us said, got upstairs to the bridge and asked the captain to turn the ship around.
Sure, he was pleased with that.
Well, I was just lucky that we're actually drinking with the one of the policemen on duty. He said, these people just didn't know what they were doing, and they took the hat around. Got enough money for
a cabin
for us.
Aww.
To get a cabin.
That's amazing.
So you basically stowed away, Perry. Well done. Good call. I like it a lot. John's on the line. John, what happened to you, mate?
Hey, Mick, Jane and guys. How are you going?
Yeah, good.
Back when I was a younger fella, I had a house party, pretty tame. Ended up getting fuzzy late on. Woke up in a paddock, getting tugged on by a cow on the jumper, and then it licked me face.
Oh.
I've had similar experiences.
I don't know about a cow tugging on you.
I got a cow
more.
In a paddock. Wakey, wakey.
Hello. That's a big
just another 5 minutes. Okay, John, well played. Dino's on the line. Dino, what happened?
Well, mate, years ago when I was a young bloke, got on the grog all night and, woke up in the front garden of the Central Coast League club with the council worker hosing me down.
God, Dino. They do that to me every time I leave. That's a good night out, Dino.
Oh, mate, got up and said, what time is it? And he told me, so I thought, oh, shit, I better hitchhike to work. I turned up at work, wet as a shag.
Good work. Good on you, Dino. Let's go to Luke. Luke?
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, good. What happened to you, mate?
So I went out with a mate from TAFE. I only kind of just met him. So just wanted to go out for the night and I'd stay at his parents' place. So big night at the pub and finished it with a reverse Jaeger, which is basically a glass of Jaeger and a shot of Red Bull.
So appealing.
Jeez.
I'll take 10.
That'll do it too. And what happened?
Well, I got separated from him somehow. So I ended up finding my way back to his place. It was the first time I'd been there, and the front door was locked. I thought, I don't want to wake the parents, give off a bad impression. So I stuck around into the back. the back door was open, so I let myself in, kind of collapsed on the couch.
Yeah.
And then woke up the next morning, and I was in the wrong house.
Jeez. Give her a prize.
Yeah, prize pack for Luke as well.
Like
great
that.
Story.
It reminds me of my friend Barney Allen. I've told you this story before. Barney and his new girlfriend were out, and they were out late. Barney was incredibly drunk. They couldn't get a cab, but his girlfriend, now his wife's father, owned a cab and operated a cab. So she gave him a call. He agreed to come and pick him up. But the whole way home, Barney couldn't compute that the cab driver was his girlfriend's dad, they were driving back to his house, which he kept giving directions to. And then in the middle of the night, he got up to go to the fridge and he comes back in. He goes, the cab driver's in the kitchen. The cab driver's in the kitchen.
Sorry.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
All thanks to the HSV Chevrolet Silverado. Head hsv.com.au to find your local dealer.
You know there's been meteor showers all over Australia.
I know. The images are
amazing. A meteor could hit the HSV Chevrolet Silverado bang on.
Bounce off it.
Yeah, it wouldn't even ding it.
No.
You're right. In fact, if I was in, it'd be like, you know, those, what do you call them, those cyclone hunters.
Oh, but yes, chasing down cyclone chasers.
Behind the wheel in the massive cabin of my Silverado and go looking for meteors, daring them. I dare you.
Catch it in the back.
Oh, you put it in the back.
Yeah.
But this would be the perfect vehicle because you could have all your equipment in that amazing, well, it's not even a tray.
I mean, not a tray. It's like a landing strip.
Yes. I mean,
it's like an aircraft carrier, landing strip.
You could
land a helicopter in the back. I'm not joking.
In the back
of the Silverado and off you go.
Yeah.
And you could tow probably a small portable dish.
You could get hit by the meteor.
Yeah.
Go out, hook up the meteor and drag it across Australia because you are the biggest, baddest ass on the road. The minute you creep behind the wheel,
I think you need a big red hot one. That's the colour.
You
have a big red one going through the middle of Australia from the Northern Territory and then come straight down
Australia to SA. I'd have a red one in the outback. I'd have a black one for all my black tie functions in the city.
Oh, that's classy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd do that. I'd have a silver one for the missus.
The deep ocean blue metallic.
Oh, that's probably for the Great Ocean Road.
You're right.
Or wherever
going
else
to
I want
to go. Hotels around Australia.
Because you can do it.
I'd do that.
The many changing faces of the Silverado. It is the greatest behemoth on the road. It is a truck. It is a ute.
Mm. And for all the HSV fans who've grown up with that brand, you can't go wrong. Bigger is better. That's the motto.
Right, it is.
It's true in life,
business.
Isn't it? Speaking of
HSV.com.au.
Who's on tomorrow?
Dr. Chris Brown.
Well, behave yourself. No flirting.
No, we're over that now. We're just mates. We're, you know, we're on the same level as opposed to you and me.
All right. Stand by, Dave.
Dr. Chris Brown tomorrow. Kennedy Malloy.
Now you're done catching up on Kennedy Malloy. Check out the Chevrolet Silverado by HSV. Live big.